Your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. As we do so, we realize that today is a very important today for us because it celebrates what we believe to be the most significant weekend in all of the world. Ever since Christ died and also rose again, Christians have proclaimed the cross and the resurrection to be the decisive turning point of all creation. Paul considered it to be of first importance that Christ died and was buried and rose again, all in accordance with the Scriptures. Today, what we call Good Friday, it's a day in which we remember Jesus was willingly suffering and dying on the cross as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. And following Good Friday, we have Easter Sunday, that glorious celebration of the day Christ rose from the dead, heralding His victory over sin and death, and pointing ahead of a future resurrection to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The question we have to ask ourselves is, tonight, why Good Friday? According to the Bible, the Son of God was flogged and beaten. He was ordered to carry the cross upon which He was going to be crucified, and that crucifixion was a death of a most gruesome manner. And yet we call this evening Good Friday. Why don't we call it Bad Friday or something like that? Well, some Christian traditions actually do call it something different. In Germany, they call it Karfreitag, which means sorrowful Friday. Think about Peter's experience. We're about to look at what Peter has written here in 1 Peter chapter 2. But just think about Peter's experience for a moment. The first time he was brought to understand that Christ would die on the cross, he answered it with a stiff rebuke. It was very repulsive to him. In Mark chapter 8, it tells us that Jesus began to teach his disciples that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about these things, Mark records. And then he says this, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. He just could not see it. This was not a good thought that Jesus would be killed. The second time Jesus ran into the cross during the Passion Week, he actually denied Christ and fled. But a change occurred in Peter's life. Peter came to a complete about face in his understanding of the cross. And he found it to be a healing instrument and also the center of the Christian experience. So we come to this passage in 1 Peter, in chapter 2, and we see the change in Peter that's been wrought by the Holy Spirit working and transforming his heart. We see this complete reversal in his thinking about the significance of the cross. In 1 Peter, Peter is instructing a suffering church. And as he does so, as he instructs them, he focuses their attention upon the person of Christ and especially his death on the cross. What was once formerly a stumbling block to Peter has now become the cornerstone of his thinking and living. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. If you were to take this passage that we just read and also open up your Bible in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, you would see by reading these two closely that just about every phrase in this section of scripture that Peter uses comes from an allusion or a quote from Isaiah chapter 53. Peter takes this passage from the Old Testament that speaks of the sufferings of Christ, and he uses it as the chief source of encouragement and instruction to believers who are facing resistance because of their faith in Christ. It is here on Good Friday, in the death of Christ, that we learn how to find eternal life in Jesus. And once coming to Christ, how to live in an antagonistic world filled with bad Mondays, bad Tuesdays, bad Wednesdays, and bad Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. This evening, I want us to see why this Friday is a good Friday. I want us to look at the healing that Christ brings here, because it tells us in this passage, by his wounds you have been healed. So I'm going to draw out four just short points about why this Friday is a good Friday. First of all, this Friday is a good Friday because Christ's death brings us into the healing hands of God. Take a look at verses 24 and 25 again with me. It says, "For by his wounds you've been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." As I said a moment ago, Peter is quoting Isaiah 53, verse 5 particularly, where he says that Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Scripture often takes this illustration or allusion of physical sickness as a touching point for spiritual disease, about a body suffering various wounds, but that's not the body actually suffering, but a picture of soul sickness. Isaiah chapter 1 actually talks like that. Verses 5 and 6, it says, "Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured. Your whole heart is afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there's no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil." Now, obviously, the people of Israel weren't all walking around with bandages on their body, but their souls, from foot to head, were spiritually sick. And so Peter is using that same illustration of physical malady as a realization of spiritual healing. He's talking about the healing of forgiveness and the healing of restoration to God that are described in these bodily terms. Our wounded body needs physical healing, but by the atonement of Christ, he's healed our hearts, our very person. If you put verses 24 and 25 together, you can see that. Verse 24, "By his wounds you've been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." What is our primary sickness? Is the sickness of straying away from God. That disobedient heart that continues to go its own way, that continues to follow its own pleasures, that goes off the path into the places of danger and destruction. That's our sickness. The healing is being brought back to God. The healing is the restoration of our relationship with God by the forgiveness of our sins. We were like sheep, but now we've returned. We were once straying, but now we're home. One of the things that I love about being a pastor is these times, Easter, Christmas, particularly those holidays, because I'm able to witness families getting back together, sometimes that have been long distant from each other, but have now returned into one place and are sharing time together with each other. It shows me every time I see it, the importance of relationships and how important they are to all of us as we spend time together as family. This passage of Scripture, Peter reminds us that our healing from Christ's death restores that most significant relationship. The relationship we have with God. We're brought back home by His death. We're brought back into the relationship with God the Father. And the reunion of a strange sheep, that wandering, disobedient one, who's now reconciled with God through Christ. What a beautiful sight that is. The Scriptures tell us that the angels in heaven rejoice over a sinner that comes to repentance and is brought to restoration with God. Peter will say a little bit later in chapter 3, Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. Why is this a Good Friday? It's a Good Friday because Christ's healing brings us home. His death brings us home. It's also a Good Friday because Christ heals us of our worst disease. Take a look again at verse 24. It says, He bore our sins in His body on the tree. Scripture tells us that we, by nature and by practice, are sinful, disobedient, and thus guilty before a holy God. But here the Scriptures tell us by Christ's stripes, that guilt has been laid on Him. I love what Spurgeon said. He said, because it cannot be in two places at once, we can now know that it's no longer on us. That's a wonderful thought. He bore our sins in His body on the cross. The Scriptures tell us in Romans 4, He was delivered over to death for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15, I received that which I passed on to you, which is of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. This is our greatest disease, our sinfulness, our disobedience, and the guilt that comes by it. But here we see that Christ was brought to the cross and died for those sins. Father thought of our sins as though they belonged to Christ. And He looked at Christ's righteousness as though it belongs to us. He made His own Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. And so whatever anger against sin that ought to be ours, Christ bore. Whatever separation from God that we ought to fear, Christ bore. Whatever consequent death and judgment that we deserve, Christ took. In this way, He was a substitute for us. Christ, He paid it. The penalty, He bore it. The judgment, He faced it. And, as we'll find out on Easter, the victory, He won it. He won it. But it has to become ours by faith in Christ. Leon Morris said this. He said, let me put this bluntly and plainly. If Christ is not my substitute, I still occupy the place of a condemned sinner. If my sins and my guilt are not transferred to Him, if He did not take them upon Himself, then surely they must remain with me. If He did not deal with sins, I must face the consequences. And if my penalty was not borne by him, it still hangs over me. We're here this evening because we call this Good Friday. And we call it Good Friday because by faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we realize that he's not only brought us home, but he's healed us from our worst disease, our sin, and our guilt. This passage of Scripture also tells us that this Friday is a good Friday because Christ's death has brought us a permanent healing. A permanent healing. That we might die to sin, it says there at the end of verse 24, and live to righteousness. That we might die to sin. It's nice to have a remedy for illnesses that we have, but how glorious it is to have a permanent healing. There's a lot of talk these days about the vaccine that's going around for COVID, and they still don't know yet how long it will be helpful in protecting people from obtaining this disease. As the studies go forward, they're inching out its protections. At first, it was perhaps 90 days, and just recently, in the past couple days, the news has reported that it 6 months. As the studies go forward, they'll be able to say, perhaps even with more encouragement, a year or 2 years. But how wonderful would it be to hear the word permanent? Permanent fix. Permanent remedy. Christ died for our sins so that we might die to sin. Point is, this is Good Friday because Christ brought an end to the condemning power of death. He brought us into a different place. So much so that Paul could say in Romans chapter 8, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's how dead death is. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Christ brought us this permanent healing from the penalty, the condemning power of death. But his wounds have also cured us of the love of sin. By nature, we love sin. But when we come to Christ, we find a new nature within us. And sin becomes something that we cannot love any longer. Imagine for a minute if you had a favorite knife. Some folks collect knives. I'm not a knife collector, but some people do. And they have them just like others have watches or pens or some other memento. Imagine you were a knife collector and you had this favorite knife that you cherished and loved and looked at often. But someone broke into your home and with that knife killed your mother. Well, you'd never pick up that knife and love it again, would you? You'd never once look at it without remembering the horror of that murder and the loss that you endured because of it. That knife would be forever associated with that loss and that pain and agony. And tragedy. It's the same with sin. That sin that we used to prize and play with, it was the very knife that brought death to our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. It cut him. And now we hate it. We hate it. How can I love that cursed thing which caused my beloved Savior to die? This is a Good Friday. It's a Good Friday because Christ's death has brought us home. It's a Good Friday because we've been healed of our greatest disease. It's a Good Friday because we've been given a permanent healing. And it's a Good Friday because we've been liberated to life. Take a look at verse 24 again. Not only have we been brought to the end of sin, but we've been given a new life altogether so that we might live for righteousness. The human existence is filled with this ability to see better things than what actually come. We often yearn for transcendence and long for things that are better in our life. But so often we find it life unable to bring those things to us. Some of us would love to be better people, but we aren't. But the scriptures here tell us that Christ not only brings sin to an end and judgment to an end, but there's a newness of life that allows us to live in righteousness. A freedom from the life of sin and a freedom to be able to live the right kind of life, one that pleases God. It comes only by the death of Christ. We're now devoted to righteousness. We find our hearts filled and our lives overflowing with love and joy and peace and all the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. Paul describes it in Romans 6. He says, you've been set free from sin and you've been made a servant of righteousness. He said, just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and ever-increasing wickedness, now you offer yourselves to righteousness, leading to holiness. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Corinthians, Paul said, Christ's love compels us. Because we're convinced that if one died for all, then all were dead. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And we've been given the heart to do that. We've been given the freedom to do that. Spurgeon said this. He said, you can tell a person about the punishment of sin in terms of terror, and you can describe the glory of God with glowing language, but you can never change the human heart. But when that person hears the Savior say, sinner, I love you and I've given myself for you. He said, then that iceberg begins to melt and that granite heart begins to throb. And that person says, love you, my Savior? I can't believe I've lived so long without you. Nothing cures the heart of coldness like God's love in Christ and bringing us new life. This is a Good Friday. It's a Good Friday because Christ's death has brought us home. It's a Good Friday because Christ's death has brought us healing from our greatest disease. It's a Good Friday because we have a permanent healing. And it's a Good Friday because we have a new life. We can live for God. But in order for this cure to be effective, it must be ours and applied. The best prescription is a worthless prescription if the prescription is never taken. If it is dispensed into your hands but never applied, it will never bring wholeness and health. Here Christ is offered to you to make this Friday not just a Good Friday for others or a Good Friday that means a weekend of holidays, but a Good Friday in the sense that your whole life and eternity is transformed. To come to Christ for the healing of your soul, to come to Christ, to be restored from your alienation from God. To come to Christ to know that your sin disease has been healed. To come to Christ to know that you've been set free from the slavery of sin. To come to Christ to know that you can walk in newness of life. Do you know that? Do you know that deeply? If you do, you can say, oh yeah, this is a Good Friday, all right. It absolutely is. But if you're here this evening, or maybe listening in from other places on the live stream, the medicine is here and the script has been written. It needs to be received. And the scriptures tell us that God is rich to all who call upon Him. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon Him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Simply bring yourself to God and say, God, I am sinfully sick and diseased, deserving of death and judgment, but I want to be made whole through Christ. Please forgive me of my sins and bring me home to you. Forgive me of my iniquity. Heal me of this great disease. Kill death in me and make me alive in Christ. That will make this Friday a good Friday for you. If you're a brother or sister in Christ, don't wander away from Him. Make sure your heart is secure in the Savior. Trust Him who has given His life for you. And live in the newness of life that He provides. He's brought us back home to that shepherd who provides for His flock, that shepherd who heals all of His sheep when they're injured, that shepherd who washes us and makes us fruitful. Listen to what Christ said. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. That's what makes today a good Friday. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this glorious Word. We thank You that on a day that truly is, Cartwright taught, a sorrowful day, it is also a good day. A day in which we remember the great benefits we've received because Christ was given up for us. Lord, people may not understand why we glory so much in the cross, but we would not glory in anything else but that. Father, we pray that You would draw us closer and closer to Yourself through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask this in His name. Amen.